بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. أما بعد, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. How's everybody doing? Alhamdulillah. So today, inshallah ta'ala, we're taking a look at ayat 26 and 27. We covered 26 before, but I just want to finish off with one final quote one final concept that I did not mention last time. This is the ayah in which Allah Ta'ala says, this is Surah Al-Insan, ayah number 26. Allah says, بَعْدَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَاسْجُدْ لَهُ وَسَبِّحْهُ لَيْلًا طَوِيلًا. And during the night, prostrate to him and exalt him a long portion of the night. We talked about it at length, but one point that I thought really deserves some attention is the fact that, subhanAllah, there are three aspects of elevation going on in this particular ayah. What do I mean? Well, the concept of commanding to sajda is obviously lowering yourself, placing your face on the ground and humbling yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that has to do with the idea of, you know, being high, low, etc. The idea of, I'm standing up, but now I want to put my face as low as possible. So there's that one aspect. Then when you're in that lowest position, you're making tasbih. Tasbih is, as we talked about earlier, tasbih is saying Allah is high above any imperfection. So declaring the elevation of Allah above any sort of evil attribution. So, you know, it comes into your heart sometimes, is Allah being harsh to me? Is Allah being unjust to me? Why aren't things happening faster for me? So no, making tasbih is saying, subhanAllah, Allah is high above any evil attribution I may give to Him. So again, it has to do with elevation. What is the third element? That we're talking about the last third of the night. And the Prophet ﷺ says about the last third of the night, يَنزِلُ اللَّهُ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ الدُّنْيَا كُلَّ لَيْلَةٍ حِينَ يَمْضِي ثُلُثُ اللَّيْلِ الْأَوَّلِ فَيَقُولُ أَنَا الْمَلِكُ مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَدْعُونِي فَأَسْتَجِيبَ لَهُ مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَسْأَلُنِي فَأُعْطِيَهُ مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَسْتَغْفِرُنِي فَأَغْفِرَ لَهُ فَلَا يَزَالُ كَذَلِكَ حَتَّى يُضِيءُ الْفَجْرِ. Allah descends, and this is in a way that we cannot comprehend. We don't think of Allah Ta'ala in terms of three-dimensional space, like some sort of a person that is moving from here to there. This is in a way that is beyond our comprehension. But yet, the Prophet ﷺ still says, Allah descends every night to the lowest heaven when one-third of the first part of the night is over and says, I am the Lord, or I am the King, I am the King. Who is there to supplicate or pray to me so I can answer him? Who is there to beg of me so that I may grant him? And who is there to beg forgiveness of me so that I may forgive him? So whatever it is you want to ask for me something, I will respond. You have a question, you want some sort of an answer to some sort of a, so sometimes I want a request, a physical thing. Sometimes I'm curious about something, I want an answer, so ask me that. Or maybe you just want forgiveness, so ask me that. And Allah Ta'ala is saying, ask me whatever, and as long as it's this portion of the night that is very tranquil and everybody's asleep, it's very sincere because nobody's around. And so therefore you are sincerely praying to your Lord, Allah is saying, I will answer it. And that will continue until the break of dawn. So subhanAllah, this is three in one single ayah, in one single verse of the Quran, you have three elements of you going down, you declaring the highness of Allah Ta'ala, and at the same time Allah Ta'ala saying, I am close to you and I am near to you. So subhanAllah, it's something that you probably don't realize when you come across this ayah, but if you take a little moment to contemplate, you realize how beautiful this is. What encouragement, how amazing that the believer has this opportunity every night to get closer to Allah, to pray to Allah, to worship Allah, to have true success in the Akhirah. And then when the believer's thinking with this mentality, the very next ayah, Allah Ta'ala contrasts that with what? With the disbelieving mentality. Inna ha'ula yuhibbuna al-ajilah wa yatharuna wara'ahum yawman thaqila. So this is the very next ayah, ayah number 27. Allah says, indeed these now who are these people here? This is in reference to these disbelievers, the people around you, the Quraysh, the enemies of Islam, these people opposing you. Indeed these people, yuhibbuna al-ajilah, they love whatever is immediate. You know, ajal, quick, fast, give me something quickly. Wa yatharuna wara'ahum, and they throw behind them, يَوْمًا ثَقِيلًا, a heavy day, an extremely heavy day. So, this is very interesting. Why? Because the previous ayah was showing how the believer has this horizontal mindset. Everything is about what? I need to lower myself. Why? So I can connect to my Lord who is higher. Why? Because I want to go to paradise. You're always thinking in this horizontal perspective. That's the believer's concept of success. How can I be a winner? Well, did I worship my Lord? Did I obey my Lord? Am I praying? Am I being charitable? Am I being kind? And you're always thinking, what is my relationship to Allah? How can I remember Allah more? This is your connection to Allah Ta'ala, and this is your concept and your definition of success. And then you contrast that with the person who is not thinking horizontally, but rather thinking completely vertically. I'm only thinking about what? money here, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Everything is dunya, everything is worldly, everything is materialistic, and this type of very immediate, you know, I'm not thinking about the long-term consequences. I gave a khutbah a little while ago about interest and how it's going to destroy our future generations. Nobody batted an eye. Everybody's like, yeah, you're pretty much right. Because, I mean, once you lay out all the facts, it's really quite depressing to realize that we're kind of sitting on a ticking time bomb. And the idea is that we're benefiting now so that we can completely destroy the future of our kids' generations. And how much are they going to curse us? Well, and I mentioned, you know, maybe Allah Ta'ala can forgive us, but can our children forgive us? You know, it's something very terrifying. But this is what happens when you love the immediate. You don't care about what type of economic system you're creating. As long as I benefit now, it doesn't matter for later. Anyhow, it's interesting as well that the disbelievers give all kinds of reasons why they don't believe. I don't believe because I have these questions, or I have these doubts, or I want more proof of this, and show me more of that. And they may give you all sorts of different issues, and you might answer one after the other after the other. And then after you've answered all their questions, they still say, yeah, but I'm still not convinced. Why not? How many questions did you have? 5, 6, 7, 10, 15, 20? What do you want? Like, we'll handle it. And they still say, no, I'm not convinced. So Allah Ta'ala is zooming into the heart and saying, look, they can say whatever they want to say to save face, right? For the sake of, you know, appearing to be objective or intellectual, they may come up with all kinds of reasons. But in the ha'ula yuhibbun al-ajila, I know what the real reason is. When somebody disbelieves, it's because they want what is quick and immediate. They want instant gratification. They just want to deal with what is here and now. And as for tomorrow, whatever. No real serious concern. So yes, ha'ula could refer to the mushrikeen of Mecca, as I mentioned. It could also refer to those who were talked about in ayah number 24, which we dealt with just a few weeks ago, which is athiman kafura, those who are externally sinning and internally they are ungrateful. That was mentioned in ayah number 24. It could be a reference to that. And of course, there's an overlap. The disbelievers around you who are opposing you in Islam, they are externally sinful and internally ungrateful. Now, Allah Ta'ala says, these people, they love what is immediate. What's also fascinating is that this is Surah 76. The Surah right before it, Surah 75, has a very, very similar concept. So the theme seems to be repeated in both Surahs. In Surah 75, Surah Al-Qiyamah, Ayat 20 and 21, Allah says, كلا بل تحبون العاجلة وتذرون الآخرة. Same concept. No, absolutely not. But you love the immediate and you leave off the hereafter. Same concept being reminded here. So Allah Ta'ala is stressing this point in these two surahs that are right next to each other. There is an omitted word. You could hypothesize that the omitted word here is يحبون منافع العاجلة. What you love is, because what it's saying is, you love the immediate. But you could say, well, technically, what does that mean? Well, you love the benefits of what's immediate. As in, you love instant gratification. The benefit of what you do and then get something right away. This word, ajila, could be something that causes doubt. Why? Because don't we all love immediate gratification? I mean, if I give you a cookie and you take a bite and you're like, tastes good. Astaghfirullah. What do you mean it tastes good, brother? It should taste terrible. No, of course not. It tastes good. What's the problem, right? And there's nothing wrong with loving what is immediate. So where is the critique here? So the idea is, yes, there's nothing wrong with, you know, pursuing immediate pleasures. But the question is, what is Allah criticizing? Allah is criticizing the disbelievers who love this immediate worldly life exclusively and nothing else. That's the main point. It's not that you can't pursue good things in this life. The point is that all you are? Is that the extent of your pursuit? Loving the immediate is only blameworthy if it makes you ignore the long term, the afterlife, and so forth. In fact, Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Qasas, ayah number 77, وَابْتَغِ فِي مَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا تَنْسَى نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. So very, very, this is a beautiful sort of packaging of it in the clearest of terms. Allah says, but seek through that which Allah has given you, the home of the hereafter, and yet do not forget your share of this world. So primary objective, whatever Allah has given you, use it for the afterlife. But now that you are so completely immersed and occupied in wondering what is happening when I die, I could die any minute. Allah could call me back at any second. I need to make this my primary focus. Then Allah says, okay, now that you have the correct mindset of genuinely focusing on the afterlife, don't forget your portion of this dunya. You still gotta go to work and make money and deal with, you know, day-to-day issues, and that's fine. And that's in fact necessary. Furthermore, Allah says, يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ. They know what is apparent of the worldly life, but they of the hereafter are completely unaware. This is the real crime. It's not that you are aware of or that you are concerned about the here and now. The problem is that you have absolutely no concern whatsoever for what is coming later. And furthermore, and just to be clear about this, the Prophet ﷺ did describe how he himself was a man who did enjoy certain worldly pleasures. As the Prophet ﷺ says, حُبِّبَ إِلَيَّ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا النِّسَاءُ وَالطِّيبُ وَجُعِلَ قُرَّةُ عَيْنِي فِي الصَّلَةِ. Beautiful hadith, which I'm sure many of you know. In this worldly life, certain things have been made very desirable for me. One is women, and we have no shame and shyness in this. Alhamdulillah, as a man, as a man or as a woman, there's nothing wrong with being attracted to the opposite gender. And our Prophet ﷺ was very much a man, and there's nothing to be ashamed of about that. Alhamdulillah, healthy men are supposed to be attracted to women. This is something that Alhamdulillah we celebrate, and we are not. Oh no, what happened? Oh no, hide. Nothing to hide about. Alhamdulillah. Number two is tayyib, which is perfumes, as in smell good, look good, fresh, you know, etc. Tayyib. And number three, he said, but the coolness of my eyes was made in salah. This is such a beautiful statement, meaning that coolness of the eyes. You know, the Arabs had this concept that you could either have hot tears or cold tears, right? And the hot tears is when you're crying out of pain, and cool tears means you're crying out of joy, right? And, I mean, you guys can all imagine if a mother gets the news that her son got injured, she's going to be crying hot tears. If her son's graduating, right, she's going to be what? Crying cold tears, right? In the sense of, oh, it's graduation day and she's crying. And somebody might say, but they're both tears. Come on, you got to see the difference here. So, qurrat ayn means the coolness of the eyes. It's the cool. In other words, the Prophet is saying, this is something that is so beloved to me. Whenever I'm extremely stressed out, I stand and I pray to my Lord. This Quran, I get to recite it. This miraculous gift that I've been given, that I can share with humanity, I stand, I do this prayer, and this is what gives me the ultimate satisfaction. Now, there are many ahadith that talk about the benefits of not rushing, right? In whatever you do. In fact, some scholars will say, when asked the question, why does Allah say that He created the world in 6 days? If Allah says kun fayakun, if Allah can just say be and it is, why does he say fi sittati ayyam, and that I created the universe in 6 days? And perhaps one of the most common commentaries about this is to show you that when you're doing something important, you don't have to rush. Even if you can get it done faster, there's nothing wrong with deliberation and doing things in a slower pace. So the Prophet says what? تُؤَدَّ فِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا فِي عَمَلِ الْآخِرَةِ. There should be hesitation, or you could say deliberation, taking your time in everything except for the actions of the next world. Now, to be clear, that doesn't mean that you should pray fast. It means that don't hesitate. Like, for example, if the time for prayer comes in, and you're like, should I pray now, or maybe I'll wait an hour? No. Try to pray earlier. Because you might, something could distract you, you know, you don't know if you're even going to live that long. You know, if you have the instinct or the desire to give in charity, don't let shaitan come and say, oh, but you know, hold on to it, you don't want to give that much. No. If you have the instinct to give, and you know you have the money to give, and alhamdulillah, you're not going to go broke or anything, then say, you know what, I'm going to act on that before I change my mind. I'm going to do something good today, inshallah. So, you should be deliberate and hesitate and think twice and three times and four times before whatever you do. But when it comes to good deeds, then don't hesitate much. Try to jump right in, inshallah ta'ala. The Prophet says, "Inna fik." Oh, he was speaking to a particular Sahabi, one of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. He saw something beautiful about this man, and he said, "Inna fika khallatain," and in some narrations says khaslatain, "yuhibbuhuma Allah al-hilm wal-anat." You have two characteristics which Allah loves. What are they? Forbearance and deliberation. You're forbearing, people get annoying, people get frustrating, you take your time, you know, you help people out, and you don't lose your temper, and then you deliberate. When you do an action, you take your time with it to make sure it was done right, instead of rushing, oh, it's so annoying, you know, fix this, come on, let's go, and then try to hurry up. No, take your time, make sure it's done right. So the Prophet was praising this man, saying that he had these beautiful qualities. Furthermore, the Prophet says, this is a weaker hadith, but still the meaning is very beautiful. Al-anatu min Allahi wa al-ajalatu min ash-shaytan. That deliberateness is from Allah, and that rushing is from shaytan. You know, we all know when you try to get things done too quickly, I don't know, making breakfast, you end up burning or ruining your food, or whatever the case may be. When you try to rush things, you often do a poor job, and Allah knows best. Then, the next portion of the ayah, what? وَيَذَرُونَ وَرَاءَهُمْ يَوْمًا ثَقِيلًا. And they leave behind them a heavy day. So, yatharu here is in the present tense, implying that it is a continuous quality, that they are persistently like this. It's not a one-time thing. If Allah Ta'ala used a different verbiage or the past tense, it could have been seen that way. But Allah is saying, this is the continuous way that they are. They're always just ignoring what is obviously wara'ahum, behind them. Now, technically, wara is one of the kalimat al-dad. It's one of those words that can be mean both behind you and in front of you, depending on which qabila. Then, so that this brings forth a an interesting discussion about the way we go through life. It's a funny point, which is that it's as if we're going through life walking backwards, if you think about it. And the reason I say that is because you see the past, but you don't see the future, right? If I'm walking in an unknown area and I'm walking backwards, then it makes sense that everything I pass, I see very clearly. I see my past very clearly. But in terms of the future, I don't see it well at all. So then you have this question of, okay, what does it mean? Judgment Day is in front of you, right? We're headed towards Judgment Day. But it is also behind us in the sense that we're walking backwards through life. So there, and this is not just the Islamic perspective or the Quranic perspective. There's also a nice quote from, where is it? Yeah, Kierkegaard, a very famous philosopher, he said, life can only be understood backwards, but it must be lived forwards, right? So it's that same idea, that we can only understand things backwards, but we have to live forwards, which is frustrating. You always have to, like as they say, hindsight is 20/20, right? Wallahu a'lam, in terms of what ought, or should it mean before, behind you, in front of you, either way, the point is that Judgment Day is on its way. So linguistically, however you want to take it, this is the point. And then Allah Ta'ala describes it as yawman thaqila, a heavy day. Now, what is that? Is that literal? Are we lifting something on Judgment Day? What is this a reference to? So it's described as a heavy day for the reason that it'll be too much to bear, especially for these disbelievers. It'll be too much to bear. Why? Because we all know that when you have a task ahead of you, what's the best thing to do? Oh, I got 2 weeks to hand in this assignment. I'm going to work on it every single day, a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, chip away at it so that every day is not too burdensome. Every day is reasonable. And then after 2 weeks, I'm done and I never stressed out. But what happens when you ignore the deadline coming up? Day after day after day after day, you just keep ignoring what happens. Then everything, all the little assignments that would have been a small weight to lift, a small weight to lift every single day, instead all that weight gets crushed on top of you at once. And so this becomes obviously unmanageable and something that is extremely burdensome. And so if that's the case with homework, if that's the case with finals, if that's the case with whatever, some assignment you have at work, then just imagine the greatest of, the worst of calamities, ignoring Judgment Day itself, the whole reason you exist. And how many people do this? How many people will be resurrected on Judgment Day like a kid who didn't study for the exam, but like multiply that by, millions? SubhanAllah, the stress on that day, the sweat on that day, the biting of the fingers on that day, things that are described in Quran and Sunnah, it's actually devastating. So, what quality made the disbeliever unworthy of serious consideration and concern? Addiction to instant gratification, and this leads to two questions. Question number one, if that's the case with them, what about us? What about us? Are we addicted to instant gratification? So the question I want you all to ask yourselves are we addicted to instant gratification, or are we patient and persistently working towards certain long-term goals for the sake of Allah? Now, if you can think of something and say, Ya Allah, I've been reading this. Ya Allah, I've been teaching this. Ya Allah, I've been consistently donating to that. Ya Allah, I've been consistently working towards something that is a long-term goal. Then alhamdulillah, hopefully this ayah doesn't apply to you, and hopefully the previous ayah does. But if not, then subhanAllah, this is something terrifying. You have to have something. Unfortunately, in the Muslim community, what happens? We all see the exact same thing over and over again. Some sort of tragedy occurs, right? This happened, a year ago with the whole Palestine situation, but it happens all the, any of these, political situations that take place that are really devastating. What's happening? Someone should do something. I'm upset. Why isn't the imam making dua? Why aren't we fixing it? Why isn't the ummah better? And, you throwing a tantrum, is this really now, the here and now, the time to fix things? Things didn't go bad in one day. Things went bad over the span of years. And they take years to fix, especially when you're talking about on the global scale. Right? So this sort of like, no, but I'm mad now. So someone has to listen to me because my voice is important. Says who? This idea that, I have an opinion about this. Like, you're not helping anybody just by being loud and angry. So we really should have long-term intelligent goals bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And the second point is what? What type of people should we focus on in terms of da'wah? If you want to talk to a non-Muslim about Islam, who are the people that you should primarily put your energy towards? People who are interested in big ideas, not just chasing fleeting trends. There are some people that are so shallow. It's like, this celebrity said that. Oh, I just can't wait to see this. Oh, this TV show is coming out. Oh, this movie. You ever notice that older people typically don't care about these things? It's because they've grown up. But some people, subhanAllah, we have people that are getting older. They're still like, oh, Netflix is coming out with the new. It's like, yo, man, you're in your 40s. Like, really? You're excited about a Netflix show? Like, This isn't Saturday morning cartoons, you know, like back in the day when kids get excited. Like, you've really got to grow up at some point. And so there are some people that are deep thinkers, and those are the type of people that you want to focus on, inshallah ta'ala. Now, the thing that I want to highlight the most here is that the previous section, ayats 23 to 26, was talking about the blessing of receiving the Qur'an. Now, this ayah is talking about the disbelievers who have the negative quality of wanting instant gratification instead of working towards a great goal. So what is the mega, or the, you could say the sort of zoomed out larger picture here? The lesson seems to clearly imply that the Qur'an should be your long-term project. In the Qur'an, it should be something that you're reading, and if you can read it in your language, then hopefully you can read it in its original language. Study a little bit of Arabic, do some memorization. This should be something that for life you should be stressing. And why is this so clear? Perhaps the clearest fact about this is the fact that Allah says, يَوْمًا ثَقِيلًا. Did you know the word ثَقِيل only shows up twice in the Qur'an? Once, talking about Judgment Day, saying Judgment Day is a ثَقِيل, a heavy day. And the other time the word ثَقِيل shows up is what? Anybody want to guess? Very nice, mashallah. Do you know the ayah? You got it right. No, big, beginning. Yes, exactly right, mashallah, tabarakallah. Inna sanulqi alayka qawlan thaqeela. Indeed, we're going to send upon you a heavy word, thaqeel. So, now you have the word thaqeel, meaning heavy, showing up twice in the Qur'an, once as Judgment Day, and the other time as what? As this Qur'an, as this heavy word. And what is the implication here? The implication seems to be, wallahu alam, that either take in the responsibility of this heavy Qur'an in this life, or deal with the consequences of the heavy day in the next life. The choice is yours. So may Allah Ta'ala protect us. And yes, this idea of Judgment Day being heavy is also mentioned in Surah A'raf, ayah number 187. لا يجليها لوقتها إلا هو, that Allah says, none will reveal the time of Judgment Day except him. ثقلت في السماوات والأرض. It lays heavy upon the heavens and the earth. In other words, this Judgment Day, imagine something heavy crushing down on this universe, ready to crack it. That's exactly what Allah says, that the sky itself is going to rip open and crack open, and we're going to see what's peeled back behind this reality when Judgment Day is established. I have a few more points. I know I'm getting long. Just help me out, inshallah. Be a little patient with me, inshallah. I'm sure some of you are familiar with the Stanford marshmallow experiment. Have you ever heard of this? I know you know. Anything psychology related, some people are like, come on. But anyway, I don't know about the rest of you. The Stanford marshmallow experiment it was conducted in the 1960s. It was to test children about delayed gratification. The idea was you can offer children a choice. Either you give them one marshmallow now, or they'll get two of them in 15 minutes. And the idea is they paid attention to see which kids went into the first category who wanted it immediately, and which kids ended up in the second category who actually had some concept of delayed gratification. And the theory is that they monitored these kids for the next, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, whatever, and then they realized that consistently the kids that actually exercised delayed gratification were actually successful in life. And it makes sense. Why? Because they understood study hard now and benefit later, whereas everybody else was just, I want me, just instant fun. Now, of course, this experiment has been questioned. Some people said, no, did it really happen or this and that. Anyway, so there's doubts about it, but it sounds fascinating. Anyway, you can look into it, inshallah. Last two points. I was going to go two ayats today, but I realized the second ayah is extremely long as well, so both of them back to back wouldn't have worked. So I'll finish off with two hadith about this issue of why Judgment Day will be a heavy day. One is because the Prophet says what? أَتَدُرُونَ مَا الْمُفْلِسِ. Do you know who the bankrupt person is? And the Sahaba said, it's a guy without money. And the Prophet said, no. إِنَّ الْمُفْلِسِ مِنْ أُمَّتِي يَأْتِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ بِصَلَاةٍ وَصِيَامٍ وَزَكَاةٍ وَيَأْتِي قَدْ شَتَمَ هَذَا وَقَذَفَ هَذَا وَأَكَلَ مَالَ هَذَا وَسَفَكَ دَمَ هَذَا وَضَرَبَ هَذَا فَيُعْطَى هَذَا مِنْ حَسَنَاتِهِ وَهَذَا مِنْ حَسَنَاتِهِ فَإِنْ فَنِيَتْ حَسَنَاتُهُ قَبْلَ أَنْ يُقْضَى مَا عَلَيْهِ أُخِذَ مِنْ خَطَايَاهُمْ فَطُرِحَتْ عَلَيْهِ ثُمَّ طُرِحَ فِي النَّارِ. Subhanallah, very famous, well-known and terrifying hadith, that there's going to come on Judgment Day a person who shows up with his prayer and his charity and all these good deeds, and he's like, oh, alhamdulillah, I got lots of good deeds. But then he cursed this guy, he took this guy's rights, he abused this guy, he did all sorts of evil, he even spilt the blood of this person, he even injured heart, etc. He did all this evil towards people. So what did each of these people do? They come back on Judgment Day, they're like, pay the piper, right? They each of them are like, okay, I want that prayer. I want that charity. I want that this. I want that that. And then after he's given all of his good deeds, if he still has more evil that he's done to people, they're like, good, we're going to start giving you our sins. The time I said something wrong, that's for you now. The time I missed my fajr, oh, that's for you now. The time I this, you know, I stole something, that's for you now. And then the guy gets all of his good taken away and all this evil packed on top of him. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam, I think this applies, obviously this can apply to any of us, all of us. But the people that I think of the most are rulers of Muslim countries. And the reason I say that is because sometimes they do so much good by building masajid and universities and schools. They do so much, they print out millions of copies of the Quran and distribute it all over, and you think, subhanAllah, so much good. It's incredible. Like, can you imagine the mountains of good that this person has done? Meanwhile, there's thousands of scholars in jail that they abuse them and hurt them and kill them. And then you think, wait a second, so you're doing the best of deeds simultaneously, the absolute, you're punishing and oppressing the best people on earth? You couldn't find any drug dealers, you couldn't find any murderers, you had to oppress the scholars, the nicest guys, these are the nicest guys you could find on the planet, and you guys are putting them in dungeons? So imagine those scholars showing up on Judgment Day and saying, oh man, you know what you did good here? You built that masjid? I think I'll take that. Oh, you guys distributed thousands of Qur'ans? I think I'll take that. So subhanAllah, imagine them having mountains of good and it's all gone. SubhanAllah, it's just an amazing, scary sight. But of course we should apply it to ourselves as well. So be very careful. And the final hadith I want to mention is the hadith in which the Prophet says, the believers, يَخْلُصُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ مِنَ النَّارِ, that when the believers, after being saved from the hellfire, they will be stopped at a bridge. قَمْطَرَةً. They will be stopped at a particular bridge between paradise and hell. أَقَمْطَرَةً بَيْنَ الْجَنَّةِ وَالنَّارِ. This bridge between heaven and hell. And it's a bridge that is specifically relegated for mutual retaliation will be established among them regarding wrongs they have committed in the world against one another. After they have cleansed and purified through retaliation, they will be admitted to paradise. So this is another hadith, similar concept, that, you know, Jannah is pure, paradise is pure, and it's going to let in people that are pure. So if you have outstanding debts, they have to be paid. If you insulted this person, harmed that person, spread a rumor about that person, had a negative effect on that person's life, whatever it may be, you're going to be like, oh, you got to get rid of that. So we have to do some sort of retribution here. So may Allah Ta'ala protect us from that. So may Allah Ta'ala, this is why it's such a heavy day. You can only imagine, you only have so much good, and you're going to be so stressed out about all of the things that you have done. So may Allah Ta'ala protect us from wronging anybody. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. May Allah Ta'ala make us of those who give in charity and be kind and praise Allah Ta'ala properly so that we stay away from evil, and that hopefully our mizan hasanat are abundant and full. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. With that, we close.